إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, values drive behavior and behavior drives results. Values drive behavior and behavior drives results. And attitudes reflect values. Attitude reflects values. I say this because this is something which is critical in leadership at any level. Personal leadership, leading others, as the case might be. So it's very important. If you are not getting the results, then you need to go backwards and look at the behavior, your own behavior. And if you find that this behavior is not giving you the results, we need to change the behavior. But to change the behavior, you have to understand why you are behaving the way you're behaving. And for that, you have to go further back and look at your values, which are indicated by your attitudes. For example, if somebody's value is that people basically cannot be trusted, then that value will drive a behavior of treating everyone with suspicion. Not letting go of control, not delegating to people, because you believe the value is that people can't be trusted. So this is the manifestation, the behavior that's manifested is that of suspicion and of believing the worst of people. And that behavior then gives you the result that people in return do not trust you, they don't like you, they feel you are oppressive, always looking over their shoulder and so on. Now the attitude that shows this value of lack of trust is the attitude which sometimes comes across as arrogance, sometimes it comes across as unnecessary anger. So it's very important to understand this: values drive behavior, behavior drives results. And if you are not happy with the results that you're getting, then go backwards, look at the behavior that you are exhibiting, and for that behavior, go and examine the value that that behavior arises from. Now, the key thing is that what I have left unsaid, because that's understood, is that all of this will happen if you have the courage to look at all this. Many times people know they are wrong in a particular case, but they don't have the courage to accept that they are wrong. So even though they know they are wrong, they will not apologize, they will not accept that they are wrong, and as a result of which needless bad blood is created, needless stress is created, and it gives rise to more and more and more negativity all around. So it's because of a lack of courage. If you have the courage to accept that you are wrong, then the next steps become very easy. So also with anything else, if you find you can't build teams, most of the time, or if not all the time, the reason you can't build a team is because you are not willing to trust people. Now, if you directly ask somebody that, or if you say this to somebody, that you are someone who doesn't feel that people can be trusted, most people will deny that, because that's the standard response, deny anything which feels threatening. But that standard response is a worthless response, because it doesn't serve any purpose. By denying something, it won't go away. So if you, on the other hand, are able to look at yourself and say, yes, I believe I do that, and then look for the behaviors. It's not a matter of opinion, please understand. I'm not saying you have to take somebody's opinion on this. It's a question of actual data to support that assessment. So if you say, well, or if somebody tells you that you are a person who doesn't trust other people, then either ask them to give you instances where they observed behavior from you which led them to that conclusion, or you look for it yourself. That's the much better thing to do, because it's easier to accept something that you discover for yourself rather than to take it from somebody else. We feel hesitant to accept things from other people. Again, these are all negative attitudes. If you don't want to accept something from somebody else and that thing is beneficial for you, then you are the loser, not the other person. But anyway, it's better to also reflect. So look back and say, what behaviors of mine make this go forward? To give you an example from the Seerah, Rasulullah said, the most intelligent among you is the one who remembers his death more often. Now, if you think about that in our culture, death is, we treat it as a taboo. Death is something that you should never mention. If you mention death, it's considered to be bad luck. You know, how do you talk about death? Especially if somebody talks about death in a in a gathering. I'm not saying that you should speak about death at a wedding or at a function which people are celebrating something nice, not because of bad luck and good luck, but because it's inappropriate. I mean, it's not the right thing to do. Just like it is not the right thing to crack a joke when you are at a funeral, although there's nothing wrong with joking and with being humorous, but it is highly inappropriate to do that at a funeral. Similarly, it would be highly inappropriate to talk about death at a time when there is some celebration going on. Imam Al-Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi actually said this, and he said that do not mention death when you are eating a meal. He said, because if you mention death, then one of two things must happen, which is that if your heart is alive, then you will immediately stop eating, because the mention of death for somebody whose heart is alive is will take away every pleasure that he is or she is enjoying at the moment. So how can you continue to be eating food and enjoying it when you have just remembered death? So he said that's one possible effect of that. And he said the second effect, possible effect, which is actually worse, is that somebody mentions death and nothing happens to you, which means that your heart is dead. So he said that do not mention death when you are eating food. But at other times, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said mention death often. The reason I'm saying that is because to illustrate this issue of values, behavior and results. Because we do not value this remembering of death, so we don't do that. And because we don't do that, we end up with living in a state of forgetfulness. And living in a state of forgetfulness obviously leads us to bad things. Take, for example, Steve Jobs. One of the things he said when he was diagnosed terminally with cancer, he said, the best thing that happened to me, I mean, I'm not, these are not his exact words, but that was the purport of his words. He said, the best thing that happened to me was that I was given this warning bell and that I was told that you are going to die in so many weeks and so on. He said, because that helped me to prioritize my life and to say, what is it that in my life which is important, what is it that I should be doing, and what are the things in my life which I might be doing which are completely useless and unimportant. I'm getting involved in them for no reason, and I should just leave them because I'm going to die in 3 weeks or 2 weeks or 1 week or whatever the case might be. And so therefore, why am I doing this? This is a useless thing, doesn't add any value, doesn't give me any benefit. Why am I still doing that? Now think about that. Steve Jobs is talking about something that a doctor told him, and he's talking about dying in 2 or 3 weeks, whereas what we are talking about is what Rasulullah ﷺ told us, and he didn't say 2 or 3 weeks, he said instantly. He said, you might be dead the next second. I might die while recording a Fajr reminder, and inshallah this would be a good way to die though, because we're talking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and remembering that. But the reminder might not be finished because I died in the middle of that. So this is something for us to keep in mind even more often. One of the things that I tell people, and I'm telling all of you here as well, that I travel a lot, and one of my wasiyah which I have made is on two things. One is that if I die during one of my travels, and then in which case, whichever country I'm in, whichever city I'm in, I should be buried with with Islamic rites of the people of Tawheed, and I should be buried as quickly as is possible in that place, and I should be buried in that place, and my body should not be transported back to Hyderabad or wherever the case might be. So whichever city, anywhere in the world, village, whatnot, I die, I should be buried there as quickly as possible according to the rites of Islam, and without anything in that a process of preparation for burial, as well as the Salatul Janaza and Dua and so on, should not be something that is un-Islamic, should not be something which is bid'ah. So that's one wasiyah. And the second wasiyah that I have made is that, depending on whatever happens, I have refused any kind of resuscitation, no CPR, no ventilators, no emergency procedures and operations and cutting and inserting tubes and Ryle's tubes and whatever the technology might be at the time. I have refused that, and therefore this is not to be done. If I am dying, I should be allowed to die with dignity. I should be, whoever is with me must remind me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must remind me of the kalima, and they must leave me alone to die with dignity with my Rabb. I would like to meet my Rabb. My Rabb knows this. I have no desire to be subjected to all kinds of treatments and procedures and things in hospitals and by doctors and whatnot at the time of my death. So nothing of that sort should be done. I must not be taken to a hospital for any of these emergency processes and procedures. This is my wasiyat, and you may take this and keep this as a record to say that I said this, and I have written this down, and this is everywhere. The reason I'm saying this is there is nothing to be ashamed about saying this. There is nothing to be hesitant about saying this. This is something that every single one of you must do. If you haven't done it already, do it now, which is to make a wasiyat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if somebody lives for two nights without having made his will and wasiyah, then the person is doing wrong. So we to make a wasiyah, and making wasiyah is not only leaving one third of your wealth, which you are allowed to leave, to this one and that one. That also is part of the wasiyah. But wasiyah is also what must be done to you, and when you die and all that. One thing which I forgot to mention is, alhamdulillah, I do not owe anything to anybody, so people need not have any fears about that. And if there is any expense that is incurred in the course of my janaza and burial and so on, then this must be charged back to my estate, which my family, whoever is survives me, inshallah, will be happy to pay. The money has been set aside for that already. So the point I'm saying is that these are things which we need to talk about. These are things which we need to make common in our conversations, because that is what then dictates, inshallah, our attitudes. So somebody who remembers his or her death often and is concerned about it, and is concerned about the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Jannah, lives a different kind of life from somebody who is the opposite and who lives as if they believe they are going to live forever. So it's very important for us to continue to live in a way which is beneficial for all of us. And beneficial for us in the sense of reminding us about the fact that one day we are going to meet our Rabb Jalla Jalalu. We did not come into this world to live forever. Nobody lives forever. Nobody, no matter how powerful they are, no matter where they are and what they are, nobody lives forever. And therefore, we must live as if we believe that we are going to die. I know intellectually and cognitively, nobody denies death, but we don't live as if we believe in death. We need to believe that we will die, and we need to believe to live in a way where when we die, inshallah, our ending will be good. And this is where we come into the issue of the attitude or the value which drives the behavior, and the behavior which drives the result. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His mercy and grace. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.